This is New England Public Radio. I'm Jill Kaufman. Good morning. Not too many people in the U.S. hand-carve headstones and monuments. Karen Sprague does in Scituate, Rhode Island. She was always good at lettering, she says. When she needed work, she started painting names on boats, opened her own sign shop on Block Island, and began carving signs in wood. Then someone introduced her to stone.
Very different than wood because you're using different tools. You're not pushing the chisel. The mallet is moving the chisel forward with every tap.
And that first letter Sprague cut into slate, she says something ignited in her soul.
I had never gotten so lit up. I mean, I get lit up a lot. I get very passionate, very excited. But you know when you have those moments.
That was 1991, and Sprague says she still gets lit up by beautiful hand-carved letters in stone. She uses that energy when she gets the first call from a family asking her to design something deeply personal.
The phone call could be a mother who's buried her daughter.
Sprague is not a therapist, she says. She is, though, a compassionate listener.
Letting someone speak about their beloved is the most important part of this work.
Ready to take a mallet and chisel to etch into slate a flower, a figurine, or a tennis ball even, and always a name, the year of birth and the year of death. On this December afternoon, stonecutter Javier Alfonso, who works with Sprague, is sitting before a piece of slate that weighs several hundred pounds. It's held up on a sort of easel. He's carving a first name.
Stone carving is a very slow process. And I can say, as a stone carver, that is a meditative process.
Alfonso is working on a piece that's going to a New Jersey cemetery for a man, a father, his wife called. A few weeks ago, Karen Sprague went to New York City to speak before a gathering of the Metropolitan Cemetery Association. It's a pretty big group of industry people. The topic was hers to choose, and surprisingly, the words comfort and joy popped into her mind.
And I thought, oh, it's the holiday season. They're asking me to speak at their holiday meeting. I went with it.
And Sprague told me a bit of what she said, starting with a story about someone she's made a stone for, who's still alive, a printmaker in Vermont. They first met because Sprague wrote her a fan letter, and Sprague slipped in an article about her own work. She heard back from the artist, Sabra Field. Sprague went to Vermont to meet her, and Field says to her, I want you to make my gravestone.
She pulled out this drawer of this print she had done, maybe it was in the 70s, of grasses. And she said, this is what I'm thinking about for my gravestone. But the real neat joy for her was her hope that upon her death, people who loved her work could go to her stone, put some paper on it, and do a rubbing, and go home with a print of hers. And I thought, this is fabulous.
Karen, I have to ask you, you must leave room, I imagine, for the date of her death.
So yes, there will be a time I will be called up to carve her death year. So the call I got this spring was, Karen, I've been thinking about my stone, and I want to put an epitaph on there. It's something about we live our lives like the grass, and then the wind comes over it, and would you come up so we can go through that? And I said, love to. So this stone gets finished, and I tell her it's all set, and she says, well, now when you return it, I want it put in the cemetery next to Spencer's. Her husband had died in 2010. We designed his stone and carved it, and his stone is in the cemetery. And so I return on this gorgeous fall day. And her son Paul has dug the foundation. He's helped me set it. We bring the sod back in. Sabra arrives and she comes walking over. And she is grinning ear to ear, sees her stone is in place. And I said, Sabra, I brought some paper and some rubbing waxes. I'd love to do a rubbing with you now. We set up a milk crate for her. She sat there and did a rubbing of her stone and pulled the first print off her stone.
It's rare that she gets to bring such joy to customers. It's usually comfort.
I'm remembering a family who came to me for a stone for their son, and they had not gotten a stone for him because they had no idea who to call or they had no idea what this should look like. And then we met each other serendipitously, and they said, well, then you will design and carve Christopher's stone. And when it was delivered to them, it was a holy moment. And they came here to the studio, and we sat and had some tea. Yes, there were tears. There were tears. Any mother who has lost their child, they just want to talk about them. So to create something beautiful, one of a kind, to honor Christopher, and that stone sits today in Michigan.